CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howardson, CFO of Vena. We hear all the time about how AI will change the way we work. Behind the scenes, many major tech companies are making huge investments in technology to bring these predictions to life. Microsoft is spearheading the integration of AI into business solutions, harnessing the power of technologies like Azure AI to transform industries and empower organizations with intelligent capabilities. With us today is Ahmed Adel, Director of Data Apps and AI Cloud Solution Architecture at Microsoft. Ahmed will discuss Microsoft's continuous investments in AI and his insights on how these innovations are poised to revolutionize the work landscape of finance professionals. Welcome, Ahmed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and your role that you have at Microsoft?
Sure. I'm Ahmed Adel. I work for Microsoft. I manage an awesome team of cloud solution architects who focus on data, apps, and AI. I have like about 35 years in this industry. And maybe the background I would focus on is I always try to be a lifelong learner. So obviously started with academic and doing the engineering degree back in 1990. That was a time when we had to have T-squares to do the engineering drawings ourselves and we're not allowed to have calculators in exams. My friends who were in commerce and accounting were spreadsheet was a paper thing, not an Excel. So different world, I guess. And then later I went for a master's in computer science. After that, I was like at the fork. Do I go for the PhD or not? And then I decided I'll switch to another model. And since then, I've always been pursuing learning through certifications, online courses, and sometimes my own projects to help me keep up. That used to be like a small advantage earlier in life. I'll tell you, through the last 12 to 18 months with the rapid cadence, it's becoming first hard to keep up with habit, but also an important thing to do, to keep up how things are evolving and make sure I'm on top of it.
You've been with Microsoft how long?
19 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, in three continents, I would say.
You've seen lots of change through that time, sure.
Oh my God, totally.
Let's talk a bit about how you think AI is going to change things for finance and business professionals. What do you see as some of the ways that the role of those groups is going to change with AI?
My personal opinion, it can help us become faster, more accurate, and more impactful. If I look at it from a finance perspective, there is no one better than our amazing Microsoft CFO, Amy Hood, amazing person. And I think the way she said it, it's by adopting these latest technologies, finance will strengthen their business leadership. And that's, I think, key for finance. Because as you look at how AI can help, there are areas like content creation, like summarization of information, and there are so many use cases where a finance professional can make use of that, like writing the initial draft of a commentary on a data set, or the example I always like is taking the earnings call of a competitor and summarizing that into key takeaways and maybe taking it further to compare that to our business and what we need to do. These are all acceleration mechanisms, like taking a first shot at something like that and then using my own knowledge to evolve it further.
Well, and that's great. We talk so much about how finance is needing to be more and more strategic and helping to drive the business, providing those insights. And so
absolutely,
this goes exactly hand in hand with that. And so do you think those top benefits will be freeing up time? Any other key top benefits?
Yes, I'm solid on that. I mean, if I go back to Amy Hood, our CFO, I think the rest of her talk was about how specifically in finance. So she talked, I think, about compliance, efficiency, and accuracy. And for her, yes, to your point, it was literally about that. Is like many things can be automated that will free up time for the team to focus on the business leadership side of finance. things that are in the accuracy, like having fast reporting that includes even signals from market trends. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes signals are like traffic or weather, or that actually makes sense in the specific context. So these are things that can help finance professional become much more efficient and deliver more value. One thing that we see that actually goes even outside of finance, but totally applies, is in every job, I'm referring here to software development. Mm-hmm. In every job, there are the boring parts, the repetitive tasks that do not really need much intellectual power. And nobody likes to do these, but it's like it has to be done. And what we're seeing in the software development world with things like GitHub Copilot is developers love it. It's like immediately I'm getting rid of the things I hate and I can focus on the things I love. I see that totally into the finance world as well.
And do you think those benefits you mentioned a bit outside of finance, when you think about business operations teams and other teams, you know, that have jobs adjacent to finance, any other changes for them or are they the same benefits?
Look, obviously, there are changes and many of the discussions that we have around our industry, every industry, are legitimate. The idea here that I'm referring to is interacting with the technology, exploring it, understanding mm-hmm. what it does, what it doesn't do, and then harnessing that power into my current job. That's how things really move forward and we get to a great place. I mean, when we were starting here, I mentioned the T-square and to draw engineering and my friends, like in my lifetime, I've seen accountants and finance folks who were just using sheets of paper and trying to balance. So it was that when Excel came in and things started, you can take everything I said and actually have a parallel to it, efficiency, accuracy, and all of that. Is that a bad place? No, but it did take change. So people mm-hmm. will need to understand it, explore it, and get the good out of it while we're all being responsible about how we implement it.
It's funny when you talk about the T-squares. When I started my career, we were using adding machines to double check things added, which now, interesting that we had to do that. But we had to sit there, and to get good at it, we had to add up the numbers in the phone book. We'd sit there practicing with that. So things have come a long way for sure.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about Microsoft. The investments that have been made in artificial intelligence are immense. And I imagine these decisions have to have been very challenging to figure out how to focus, where it's all going. How does Microsoft envision in the future this interaction between people and the technology?
Great question. At the core, we always ground ourselves in Microsoft that we are a platform company. And by that mean, and it's all captured in our mission, is empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. So as we make the investments in this new world of how AI is rapidly evolving, that's exactly what we do. We focus on very specific investments that are going to make that available to our customers, whether they are the individuals or all the way to the enterprise. So will it change how people work and hopefully to the better? And that is something we all focus on, being responsible about it and also enabling others to develop responsible AI. That's an non-negotiable item for Microsoft and the teams that we have.
When you think about how organizations need to be looking ahead, how can they go about getting their workforces ready for some of the changes that AI is inevitably going to bring?
Let me lead with something important here. Our industry, let's focus on the software side of the technology side, is changing at the core. We used to have sayings like the world runs on software, every company is a software company at the core. And when our industry changes at the core, that will trigger changes in every industry. So when we look at that, why am I leading with that is because it is a new space. And whenever we are in times like this, it is super important to keep up, understand what it is, and be agile about it. That the agility part is super important. There are many customers we work with who are rightfully like deciding to stay. No, I'm going to stay. Wait. Mm-hmm. And I think not the best finance person in the world, absolutely, but I think the term is the cost of lost opportunity is something that you can measure in finance and business. And I think that will be super important because this technology harnessed in the right place, in the right way for any business will mean differentiation, will mean a step change in how any company is delivering to the market, how the employees internally are being super productive and happier about it. So many things will be differentiating in that. And the cost of lost opportunity in that will be super important as companies get into that space. So the net of it is being able to explore and being able to translate that into use cases that mean something good for the business, something that gets the business to be more competitive in the marketplace, has to be an ongoing process as we go forward.
And are there any places that you would suggest that finance teams look for some of those insights or to help direct them on, you know, what are some of the skill sets or ways to encourage that agility, but also get people feeling comfortable with even trying it?
Every one of us, whether in finance or not, is using some tools to be better, to perform better at their job. So you can take that. I'll speak from a Microsoft perspective. So like using Word or Excel, even not if not in a finance mm-hmm. mode, and PowerPoint to communicate. Even if I'm using the web and searching and stuff, now being able to weave the new AI Copilot in our case in these products and on the web into my day-to-day activities is an immediate productivity gain. I remember the first time I got, usually Microsoft, you get access to some of the products earlier. So this was an eye-opening moment for me. Is like I'm getting on a Teams meeting and I was late. So yeah, guilty. and almost 10 minutes and it was an important meeting and boom, the Copilot came up. Okay, here is what you missed. Key points. And I was like, oh, I really love that. Like, thank you. Because I could just blend in quickly and not having missed anything. Now, from that, like, wow, impressed. Now that's a base requirement. Like I get on meetings whenever I'm finishing a meeting. Here are the key points that were discussed, who said what and how, what are the action items. And this is evolving as we go. So even I catch myself sometimes, okay, now I know how that Copilot and that product work. But then I catch myself, okay, it actually has evolved and it does a few more things and I'm not exploring that more. So getting back mm-hmm. to the point is making sure that people are exploring that for their like individual productivity is one thing. The other thing, and I think this is what you guys do, is making use that the solutions that use AI to help me in my specific job. So mm-hmm. FP&A for in that example is I am harnessing that and I'm using it. And this becomes super important because at the end of the day, you can't ask every organization in the world to create their own mm-hmm. things. And we in Microsoft, that's what we do. This is why we say we're always a platform company because we have partners like Venus Solution, like other partners who harness that power and put it in meaningful business scenarios for their respective industries.
Well, and it's interesting you just shared this story, which I've not discovered that capability yet, but I have found at the most simplest of levels, some of the ways I've learned or been willing to try things is because others have shared, hey, did you know I just did this? Or have you seen this? Check out this cool thing. And you don't want to miss out. And yep. I remember a meeting I was in, you know, where a person who heads up part of our software technical team, And he said in this presentation that he was presenting a business case to me to get something approved. And by the way, this was, you know, I used artificial intelligence to create this presentation. I was like, wow, that's cool. Like, I want to be able to do that. So yeah. It sort of encourages you. I think that this is a time where there's a lot we can learn even from each other.
Yes.
As we're in this exploratory phase.
100%.
There must be a lot to think about when it comes to some of the ethical, legal considerations. I know certainly that's always on the mind of finance folks, legal teams internally, et cetera. You know, how does Microsoft think about that?
That is the top priority as we go through the current cadence of innovation that is happening. And we are at Microsoft, there are many levels, if you will, that we do that. So we have been doing that for a long time. I mean, some of the things I will list here have been there for AI, because AI had previous to generative AI, Gen AI, mm-hmm. it had many of the same bias, different aspects that were privacy and all of that. But with Gen AI, more power. So this is why it's top priority. So we start at things that we have contributed to the industry, to the whole world, which are the principles of what is it that we have to be careful about, like privacy and security, transparency, mm-hmm. how is it deciding things, inclusiveness, so that it doesn't exclude certain factions of our society based on the bias and the data that it gets fed. So we have these principles. They are published. They are important things, and we contribute in that discussion. But these get translated into policies and frameworks that govern how we develop our products and how we expose our platform to partners to create on top of. And this is an ongoing evolving space, because we can't be the judge into what is right or wrong. And we have to have like the minimum, like safety. If any developer or large company is using Azure AI services, it will have built-in content safety built-in at the model level, at the service level, and it will have a minimum kind of non-negotiable. But above that, they can choose to tweak some of the filters, if you will, to be okay for their business. So you can imagine always things like if I am in the finance industry or in a like a marketing industry where I'm putting stuff on the web, or if I'm in gaming and I'm creating stuff for gaming, some of the things that can be okay in that context are not mm-hmm. totally not okay in that context. So we enable that with a minimum, but whether people are using our co-pilots or creating their own co-pilots, we equip them in the tool chain with everything they need to make these decisions. And we have our filters to make sure that specific things like hate, violence, and we have a structure for that are not seeping through that system.
What are some of the ways that Microsoft can help ensure that its artificial intelligence is being used responsibly and ethically in business?
Yeah, this is, as I said, a top priority for us. And there are two modes of operation when I answer that question, because one of them is when we are availing our own products like Copilot and Microsoft 365 and so on. And in this mode of operation, first we have our responsible AI principles and tooling, and then the red teaming within the product development to make sure that nothing is getting out without proper checks and balances for that. But more importantly is the ongoing monitoring and feedback from our customers, because honestly the best way to make sure responsible AI is a reality is to have that dialogue always going and have the kind of testing of it and the quick correction of it ongoing. Now, the other mode of operation is when we avail to our partners and our customers so they build their own AI solution. And for that, we have the same things, which are the principles, the framework, but we have it also in the tooling. So you have AI content safety, the different ways customers can use our filters, our different technologies, so they make sure that they are able to control how responsible the AI they're availing to their end customers is.
Can you discuss about Microsoft's ongoing investments in AI and how you think they're going to shape the future of work?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a rich subject, and our leadership in Microsoft is very, very clear on how we approach it. So first, let me ground again. I'm sorry if I'm repetitive. Platform company. That's mm-hmm. where we come in. That we're empowering every person, every organization on the planet to achieve more. So with that in mind, our focus in innovating across end-to-end stack that we call the Copilot stack. So that goes into five levels. One of them is the infrastructure. Then you build the frontier models, the foundation models, and then you have the data platform, and then the developers, the tool chain and the developer tools, and then the Copilot itself. So if you're okay, I'll just go quickly through each level of that, because that's how we structure the investments. On the infrastructure level, needless to say, large language models, training them, having the inference engines that are behind them, that takes a lot of compute and very specialized compute. So we innovate across that is a stack on its own. We innovate across all the layers of that stack. So the servers, the data centers, the energy. We have now become a very formidable company in how we're sourcing energy. And how do we balance increasing that while we're being responsible in the way we're sourcing renewable energy, we're reducing our carbon footprint, and we're minimizing waste. So these are all things that we do there, plus the optimization across the hardware and the AI accelerators. These are things that are allowing huge improvements. I mean, it's not directly related to that, but one thing that that always like, wow, amazing for me is when you look at OpenAI, GPT-4, over the time it took from GPT-4 to GPT-4 Turbo to now GPT-4o Omni, we are looking at 12x and 6x. Cost is going down and performance is going up. That is a scaling law that is going to a whole new level. We used to, in our industry, we have the scaling laws, Moore's law, if you know about that, and how things are doubling every 18 months. Now we're seeing 6-month cycles where things are getting cheaper. So again, that is something that is enabled by amazing infrastructure that is done responsibly. Obviously, and I jumped into that, the models themselves, and that is there are what we call the frontier models. So you talk about some of the OpenAI innovation, the open source innovation, but you also have not LLMs, large models, SLMs, small language models, and you have also the open source. In our experience, customers have multiple of these models in any given solution, if you will, where some parts of the solution can require just very fast response, low latency, accuracy is okay within a certain range, and others that require the frontier models. So this is why in our model catalog, you have now more than 1,600 generative AI models that our customers do use. When you move above that, that's my preferred layer, the data platform. Because as we all know, I mean, if data is not right, nothing will be right. So the things we're doing with platforms like Microsoft Fabric, enabling customers to have a unified data and analytics platform, from the connecting, the ingestion, the forming, transforming of the data and querying it, because that's where you build your AI experiences and have it relevant to the business you're in. Obviously, the tool chain developers using these things in a way that is tuned for the AI process, development process. So we have Azure AI Studio, AI development capabilities injected in all the development tools that our developers use. And that is important, because if you ask me today, what is AI development? it's a different and it's a new thing. I mean, if we can roll back time and I come in here like 18 months ago and I tell you, hey, Melissa, did you hear about prompt engineering? We'll be like, oh, what is that? Now, yeah, prompt engineering. I mean, like, it's not only now a technical term and like people know, yeah, you need to write your prompts and how you can change them. And it goes much deeper than that, of course. But basically that thing. And the last layer is the copilot. And as I mentioned, like we everything that I mentioned so far is available to us, to our engineering teams, and equally to our partners and customers. So when you guys build your own Vena Copilot to your customers, you're using the four layers of the stack I mentioned in the same way our engineering teams are building copilots for our products. So investing in every one of these in a way that is focused is how Microsoft drives the investment decisions on that.
And how do you think these are going to impact the future of work?
That is, the $1 million is not enough anymore, but
no, it's not.
That is the very expensive question. it is something I think, okay, let me take that from another angle. If I, in my normal interactions, whether it's my family, my cycling group or what have you, there is always that elephant in the room about the discussion about AI and all of the things that can happen. And then there is the other thing, which when I ask someone, hey, did you use ChatGPT or Copilot in Bing or what have you to generate that image or to do things that are new now? Most people are already using it and are already past the point of wow, impressed with it into, yeah, that is something I use all the time. I remember maybe 10 months ago, I was doing this thing. I discovered, okay, I can give it now a picture. So going to my backyard, one of the plants, I'm trying to be good in my gardening, but lousy. So give it a picture of that and then asking it, what is that plant? Which there are apps that do that, but now I can do it in just a search experience. And then even take it further. Okay, what would be nice looking around that? And it did come out. These are daylilies. You can put some hostas around them. And then I went into, okay, can you generate an image of how it would look? And I have that image. And I'm like, okay, I can probably be a good gardener now because I can I can use that. That these kinds of scenarios are becoming things people use. So there is one thing about being careful and being responsible about it, and we all need to do that. But there is also another thing, which is how can we harness the good of that and make it so that we're excelling in business, having a better life experience in many of the things we do.
I think lots of companies try to grapple with, where should I place my investments? Because there's so many places that you could go. How does Microsoft go about prioritizing those investments?
Okay. Can I have two answers to that question?
Sure.
So Microsoft, I mean, like I have, let me start with my own personal, and it is something I actually use in the business because with my team, we help amazing Canadian customers around the country use that technology, including the amazing Vena solutions. So I always have that joke with my team and the customers we meet. It's like one of three categories when we are discussing something to do with, hey, I want to do something with AI. And to me, it's like, as funny as it may seem, party trick, science project, or a real business differentiating use case. And you can see where this is going. But really, it's like when we are looking at AI to infuse it in our business, there are, and it's okay to explore. If I am in a business setting and I'm doing the day lilies and hostas, like, okay, it's cool, but is it really related to the business? And it can be good still, but in the context of exploring, understanding what it does and all of that. And then later, okay, now that I know this, how can I use that for my business? So just making sure that we understand that this is like, yeah, party trick. and then there is what I call the science project. And here is where it gets blurry because on one side, yeah, it is kind of a business scenario. But are we really having a return on that investment, if you will? Like if I, you are the CFO, so you know exactly that's the first thing that you would be looking at. Are we doing this to say we have AI and it is related to the business, but is it really a good business decision to have? Now, the other thing from a technical perspective, which is important, is most of what I see as I classify as my funny category of science projects are projects that do not look at the technical sides that you have to have, the architecture. Like, so obviously the security, the privacy, but most of the time the scale. Like, does it scale? Mm-hmm. Because if it is a good project and it's like really gonna fly, your success can be your defeat very quickly as people start using it. And then does it scale? So there are lots of things that need to be there to make sure that if we're getting to that stage where we are offering to our end customers AI-infused experiences that really differentiate our business, that's the last bucket is obviously where we need to be, measuring the ROI and making sure the technical architecture is going to support success.
And what about the role that collaboration with other industries or innovative partners plays? How important is that for Microsoft?
Yeah, that's how we operate. Literally everything I said in the five layers of the Copilot stack, mm-hmm. Speaks to that. I mean, like infrastructure, we're working with NVIDIA, AMD, and like every company, and that goes into the networking and all of that. As we go up that stack, I mean, like, hey, OpenAI in the frontier models and all the open source partners that we have. I mentioned the number plus 1,600 models. These are very few of them are Microsoft. That is the beauty of and sometimes the challenge, but definitely the beauty of our industry is you can't achieve things alone in our industry. Now, if we go all the way up, and that's where it really makes sense. I mean, at the end of the day, all of the data innovation, the AI innovation, if not manifested in actual experience people can use, whether they're consumers or businesses, then what's the point of doing all of that? And this is where our Copilot is helping people become more productive in a way that is not like it's a, again, I love the fact that we went for the term Copilot. It's not the pilot. Like, it is something that is helping you jumpstart things, iterate through them, but you're the one who's making the decision. If we go to the other side, we enable our partners to create their own co-pilots to customers. We can never be the best company in the world that creates a specific solution for specific industry that has co-pilots that are deep enough in the industry. This is where partners like many amazing Canadian customers, Vena is definitely one of them, to have that ability to do an FP&A like co-pilot that really helps a finance professional be faster, more accurate, and more impactful, as I said.
And have you seen, in terms of the product development timelines, you know, Microsoft is huge. I would imagine it's really hard to pivot quickly and you're planning things out well in advance. But have timelines changed or the way you go about product development, any changes you've seen that AI has brought along?
Oh, yeah. Remember at the start of our conversation, I mentioned like one of my things I used to take pride in is how I'm always trying to learn and keep mm-hmm. up and how that is becoming challenging to keep up. It's the same thing. And in our industry, and sorry if I'll go into some of the technical sides of it, we used to have you start developing software and then you start having methodologies of how you develop software. So we used to have things in the past that we used to call waterfall and different methodologies. Mm-hmm. And then we went into agile methodology. The name is self-explanatory. So we're iterating fast. We're getting stuff out. So when I remember when we first got Azure as a service out, prior to that, we used to have 2 or 3 year cycle. I mean, if you translate it, if I tell you what was after Windows 95, it was Windows 98. 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was like patches, fixes, but the new version is coming in 3 years. We literally, when we moved to the agile world and Azure, we literally have like every few weeks, new features are coming in. Now, with that comes challenges to our industry, like, okay, what about the documentation? Is it up? Is it keeping up to speed? And even exams for certification. If I'm studying, I'm using the actual product. If I go into the exam, if it's like 3 months ago, and with that, the challenge for academia as well. What are we teaching? And this is why the learning modality is important. So the key point here for us is like being even more 5 times, 10, mm-hmm. 10 times more agile. And that goes all the way from skilling and development of our teams. It needs to be more iterative, more fast. But the second thing is the way we package things for our partners. So, and this is, sorry, it may be a tangent, but it's super important. When we divide things in the 5 layers of the Copilot stack, one of the key values of that is, for example, if Vena is having the Copilot to their customers, and now it's using, let's say, GPT 3.5 Turbo, or whatever the model is, and even within that, you have specific versions of it, and they do different. And now a new GPT model comes in. Do you need to take down everything you have and just rebuild again based on the thing? Of course, there will be a few changes. Now the model can do something much more magical, and we need to harness that. But that's how we make it so that everybody is able to harness the new power in an agile way without having to tear down everything they have and start all over.
What advice would you have for finance or business operations teams that are looking to start implementing some more artificial intelligence tools?
Be you. Like finance being finance is very important. AI is something that will be a differentiating tool, or will be something we do just for the sake of doing AI. And we obviously need to gain more business leadership by implementing AI. So being you is making sure that this is a business decision, taken based on business parameters in the finance. But the part where that we need to lean on more is I think I mentioned it, is be always aware of the cost of lost opportunity in mm-hmm. that space. Because as we go, things will move fast. They are moving fast already, and the difference in the customer, in the companies that will harness that power and put it in their products and services to their customers will be huge. It's already showing to be huge in many cases. So moving fast and in an agile way, but also in a very business responsible way, is super important. The other thing, and I will get back to the funny categorization I made about party tech science project. These are good. These are important. So mm-hmm. as a finance professional, or in any of the disciplines that we have in our businesses, being on top and experimenting with what these things can do on regular basis, because they do evolve fast. So like having I know what it does can be different in 3 months time. Having that process is super important. And I maybe seem like contradicting here. I'm not. It's about doing it, but realizing that, yeah, it is still, I'm doing it for the purpose of learning, exploring, not as the business offering, the new business offering that will use AI.
Such valuable advice that you've shared with us today. Really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation and share your insights. Now, whenever we have a guest on the show, we do have 2 rapid-fire questions that we like to ask. Ooh. So are you ready?
I am ready.
What is your go-to strategy for staying productive during the workday?
So whenever I'm working from home or working from the office, there is a timer, 30 minutes. I need to go up, like even if a short walk or call someone, talk to someone, that is, as long as I'm not disrupting them, of course. With that, actually, if I can add another one, which I always love, there was this little book that I read like 20, 30 years ago. I don't know if you eat that frog. Do you know that one?
I've heard about it.
The concept is obvious. Like I always try to see, okay, what is my list of things to do today? And if one of them is eating a frog, that's what I start with to just get it out of the way and move on to the more productive stuff. So these are two things that I find keep me productive.
Those are good ones.
Yeah.
And what always turns a bad day around for you?
So I'll take a segue from the previous one. When I move every 30 minutes, not every 30 minutes, but at least one or two of them, I try to find someone to help with something. And sometimes it's the victim is someone on my team, another victim, they appreciate it, or sometimes peers and sometimes our leaders. So I literally offer myself up like, hey, what's up? What's your latest challenge? What can I help with? Sometimes it's easy because if they are like interns and students, yeah, the thing to help them with is immediate and sometimes. But it gives, like, I think it's for anybody, it gives us all as humans great pleasure if we're helping some. Now, if I'm not working, I know my happy places: cycling, swimming, and playing music. Lousy music player, but I do do that anyway, and it does help me to turn a bad day definitely around.
Excellent. Some great ideas there. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. It's been a pleasure.
If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. Looking for more great CFO show content? Sign up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll get a roundup of exclusive content to help you grow and drive strategic transformation. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.